taken into your house that you've given us to worship you and to know your word. We praise you for that, Lord. Pray now you bring every thought into captivity to the glory of Almighty God, to relish that word, to enjoy it, and to imbibe and ingest it in such a way that the word of God becomes human flesh, and we and you and flesh become the word of God. We know these are great mysteries. They're things we're looking into. And we also believe, Lord, is transpiring amongst us. We thank you for grace and glory this morning. We're happy to commend ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. You may be seated. Now, we're going into the message of the paradox, and this will take quite some time to develop it. I'm going to start on page 2, and Brother Branham says, "Now, usually I speak a long time, but I've tried my best to make my scripture and notes so I wouldn't speak too long. And I want to pray for the sick while I'm in Phoenix." Now, this, of course, is in Phoenix in 1965 in January. Now, the subject, of course, is the paradox. And you will notice that even before he reads any scripture relative to the subject or as for a text in a context, he begins with the prelude. And this prelude, he says, "Now the message that the Lord has allotted to me is sometimes, you know, these things get pretty touchy. And it's been that way in every age. And I have tried my best to stay with it. It's something. And if I did not speak that thing that God told me, and if it wasn't to God, then it wouldn't be in the Word. If it's in the Word and a promise for this hour, then I feel that I'm doing what's right because I'm only trying to keep what he promised for this hour." Many times when you cross up someone and their theology, they'll fall out with you right quick. But that shouldn't be. I find friends of mine that's of all different denomination of churches and so forth, and I never fall out with those brethren. I go to their churches everywhere they let me come and speak. But we shouldn't fall out over little ideas. But you know, if I said anything different from what's in my heart, I'd be a hypocrite. Far be it. I might have to meet him someday as a sinner, but I certainly don't want to meet him as a hypocrite. I want to be true. And if I just said, "Well, I'll admit this because that the rest of them believes this and that," and what kind of a person would I be? You couldn't have any confidence in me, and I couldn't have confidence in God or in myself when I just so easily compromise. Now, let's start over. He says, "Now the message that the Lord has allotted to me in preaching it," he says, "things get pretty touchy." It's been that way in every age. Now, of course, he's referring to the fact that we're starting back after the great blackout in the Roman Catholic Church for over 400 years, coming to Luther. Now, the minute that Luther took the word of God on justification, it became very touchy, became very sticky, and it caused many, many, many hundreds of thousands to die. It brought on terrible death. Then, even before that, they were dying. Now, also, under Wesley, it was very touchy because he came out of the Lutherans and they did their best to persecute them and destroy them. And then the Pentecostals came out of the Wesleyans. And then, of course, the Lutherans and particularly the Wesleyans ganged up to destroy them was very touchy. And now, of course, Brother Branham is referring to the fact that he is bringing something which is very touchy. And, of course, this places him right along with Luther and with Wesley. And, of course, people aren't going to like that. Especially since Pentecost is based upon the concept, hallelujah, we never did have a leader. Yep, this thing just fell open before us. And nobody really spearheaded it, although actually Charles Parham is more or less the father of this discrepancy that is in the land called Pentecostal. Now, he says this message that the Lord has allotted to me in this age is a touchy one. Now, it seems that pretty well the authoritative concept of the denominationals, which are Protestant, which are supposedly, in a lot of respects, fundamental, and therefore believers, in a sense, in the grace of Almighty God, have come up with what would be the end-time understanding of this age, which the people receive is a preachment concerning a promise which these fundamental believers accept, which pertains to the coming of the Lord, which includes the rapture, judgment, deliverance of Israel, defeat of the Antichrist, a resurrection of the just, a millennial reign of Christ in the church with Israel thrown in for good measure, which means they'll be brought to the place where they have always hoped to be, literally controlling the world from that area called Palestine, and particularly from Mount Zion, where there'll be great things going on with the King of Kings in the midst of us. Now, on all these points, amongst these believers, there is a difference in just about every single point. However, because they agree basically, there is a political harmony of expediency, which is not really spiritual, but is expedient. Now, Brother Branham says things get pretty touchy, and you'll notice he admits that. In the rapture tape, he said, real strange. Now, let's go to Acts 23:6-9, and we'll see that this is an earmark from the ages. There's no way it can't be. It started that way. And anyone with an ounce of the ability to peruse what has gone on through the ages knows it to be true. But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees, the other Pharisees, he cried out to the council of men and brethren, I'm a Pharisee. The son of a Pharisee, of the hope of the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. When he had so said, there rose a dissension between the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. Now that's a very easy one. You got a divided group on a single principle. Is there or is there not a resurrection? Well, of course, the crowds divide. All right. Now, the Sadducees say there's no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. There arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part rose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man. For if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. When there rose a grin, of course, there rose a great dissension, and the dissension got so hot, poor old Paul in the middle, they thought he might get killed, so they took him away, they spared him away. Well, that's not bad. But when you get to the place where there's about a 400 Protestant divisions, and at least a dozen major ones, and you find a man at the end time come along, if indeed there would be such a man to come along, as Christ came along, and threw a bombshell, that they were just about wrong in everything they taught. They really didn't have anything right, although some of the names they had were very right, which is true. Second coming, appearance, divine healing, born again, baptism of the Holy Ghost, justification, sanctification, walk, light, sure, truth. That's just about every one of their topics was right. But it what was in them. Christ said concerning the people back in his day that they were sepulchers. They looked awful nice on the outside, but they were full of dead men's bones. You ever seen some of these sepulchres they have? Go down to Louisiana, you know, they can't bury them underground because there's much water. So if you go to some of these places and see these mausoleums, they're pretty as a house. Well, you want to crawl in one of the shells with the rest of the bones, it's all right, but not my idea of what's good. Now listen, he says the message, and he starts right out the message that the Lord has allotted me. Now that's pretty, what you might say, full of pride. Well, it's going to touch somebody in a hurry. Because he's telling you that he's got something nobody else has. The Lord allotted me, and he said, it's going to be pretty touchy what I've got to say. Now, let's just read about that message. I've tried to stay with it. And if I did not speak that thing that God told me, now number one, he tells you that God told him something. Didn't say he read it in the Bible, said God told him. The question comes, well, how do you know it's God? And when you talk about hearing, how do you know it was God that told you? What are you talking about? Now, if I speak not that thing that God told me, didn't say he read it, said he told it. And if it wasn't of God, now watch his defense, then it wouldn't be in the Word. I said, if it wasn't of God, if it was not of God, it would not be in the Word. So therefore, if it was of God, it would be in the Word. Okay? Now, that pits Joe Smith pretty hard, the Mormon hogwash. And boy, are they spreading. Well, anything that's got polygamy will spread pretty fast. You figure you can have God in your lust, too. You're sort of cooped out. Yeah, preacher, Brother Vail. Well, that's right, too. I'm not very bright, but I'm not stupid either. Wasn't of God, it wouldn't be in the Word. If it's in the Word and a promise for this hour. what if it's in the Word and promise for another hour? Now that makes Brother Branham set himself up as a time clock. They're not going to like that either. If it's in the Word and a promise for this hour, then I feel that I'm doing what's right. Because I'm only trying to keep what he promised for this hour. All right? You'll notice what God told, which what he told is in the Word. And it's a promise he told that's in the Word. And it's for this hour. And he's holding to it. All right? That's exactly Revelation chapter 3, 14 and 22. And unto the messenger of the church which is in Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And in verse 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, all right, there's something that is written already, which will have to be spoken by this messenger, because it says in 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Now, which indeed is Revelation 10, verse 1 to 7, and I saw another mighty messenger come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his feet was as it were the sun, his face as it were the sun, feet as pillars of fire, and he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon sea, and his left on the earth, cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. When he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now the loud voice was not a lion's roar, it was a loud voice as when a lion roareth. So this evidently is not the lion of the tribe of Judah. But it utters evidently with the same strength and the same words of the lion. Remember, the first age had a lion. Seven thunders uttered their voices. The seven thunders uttered their voices. I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to seal up those things with the seven thunders uttered and write them not. The angel which I saw stand upon the scene upon the earth lift his hand to heaven, swear of him lives forever and ever, who created the heaven, things there and the earth, and so on. The times be no longer, but in the days of the voice. All right, there you are. The seventh church age messenger is speaking. And evidently he has heard from the mighty one that came down. And at that time, the mystery of God should be finished. That's completed, polished off, perfected. That which is perfect has come. Don't look for anything else. And this will finish the gospel, the good news of the gospel, as God has declared by his servants, the prophets. So this will be a prophet. And he will be bringing that which has already been declared. That which has already been set forth. This will take care of the whole thing. All the mysteries will be dealt with. And of course, getting a little ahead of ourselves because I'm going to come back. You know that that refers to what Peter calls the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says concerning it, we were eyewitnesses of a prefigure of this event in a vision. But now, the real thing is going to come into manifestation. Whereunto you will do well to take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this. Now here is what you look for. Before there can be a fulfillment of that coming kingdom. Before a light can shine in a dark place, before the day star can arise in your heart. Know this. Now this is what you gotta know. There's no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation when it comes to this time. But it's going to come as prophecy came. Now listen, knowing this, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. See? It cannot be isolated. It's got to follow in a continuity. Now it says that interpretation is the same as the giving of it, which is holy men of God speak as they are moved by the Holy Ghost. And remember, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter and those were appraised of the fact that Elijah must truly come. All right. We know this also to be 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. We know it is also Ephesians, the 1st chapter, verse 17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, to the end, that we will then know what is the exceeding greatness his power, which will raise the dead and change us. Which is also Malachi, pardon me, the 4th chapter, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. All the proud, all the wicked, shall be stubble. The day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, leaving neither root nor branch, but unto you that fear my name shall the sun arise, arise, heating his wings. You shall go forth, corrupt as calves of stall, and shall tread down the wicked, to be ashes on the sole of your feet. In the day that I do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Now that's, everybody agrees with that, that's fundamental. For when it comes to, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet to turn the hearts of the children back, lest I come and smite with the curse that is absolutely impossible for them to believe. They will not believe it. All right. Brother Branham says, message. Message. I have a message which is at the end time. And he said, it is going to be repudiated. Now you will notice that he begs them not to repudiate him, and he appeals for their respect on the ground of his own temperance. And many times when you cross up someone in their theology, they'll follow up with you real quick. But that shouldn't be. I try to. I find friends of mine that's all of different denominations and churches and so forth. I never follow up with those brethren. I go to their churches everywhere they let me come and speak. But we shouldn't fall out over little ideas. Now, you notice that he says little ideas, which means that they will not disbelieve him on major doctrines, but they'll deviate with their own thinking. And when they do, let us understand this, even though he is being very temperate with them to gain their respect and to listen to him, there is no way that the word of God can be changed. One promise, and that promise become effective. It just won't work. But you know, if I said anything different than what's in my heart. Now he's pleading his sincerity and pleading for their sincerity. But you know, if I said anything different from what's in my heart, I'd be a hypocrite. Far be it. I might have to meet him someday as a sinner. Now notice he's humbling himself, break down, low. But I certainly don't want to meet him as a hypocrite. I want to be true. And if I just said, well, I'll just admit this. Now notice up here he said, fall out over little ideas. Now watch. Well, I'll just admit this, omit this, because the rest of them believe this. Then what kind of a person would I be? You couldn't have any confidence in me, and I couldn't have confidence in God or myself when I just so easily compromise. Anyone has got to have something that they're sure of. But, and that's when you can base your faith, is when you're sure. But until you're sure, if there's a question, leave it alone until you're sure. Now he's talking about a message that he's got to be sure of. Because he said, it was told me, it's in the Word, it's for this hour, so I'm sticking to it. Now he said, you wouldn't want me to be a hypocrite by trying to preach to anybody here in a manner that's going to please people. But at the same time, I'm invited to your churches because I don't follow with you, but please don't expect me to preach something just to get along. When I cannot do that, I have to preach even those little points so the whole thing lines together. Now he says, now the message that the Lord has allotted me. All right? Let's go to 1 John 1 and 5. John speaks of a message. This then is the message. Notice, this is the message that we have heard of him. This is the message that we have heard of him. And if I did not speak the thing I heard from God. This then is the message I heard from God. Do what you want with it. Message then is something heard. 1 Thessalonians 2. Verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning has chosen you, and belief of the truth, which is the word of hearing. The word of hearing. Now notice it. Word of hearing. Now, the same understanding. I read in 2 Thessalonians, but I've got to get back to 1st. It's the same thing over. I should have read this in 1st, so I beg your pardon. For this cause also thank we God without cause, because when you received the word of God, that is the word of hearing, is the word of God. It's the same as over here in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13. The same understanding. Now, in Hebrews, so we got to get back over here, Hebrews. Fourth chapter. And the third verse. No, second verse. For unto us was the gospel preached unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. The word of hearing. Now, when you use the word of hearing, it actually is a message. It is something heard. Now, that's actually the Greek. The word of hearing is a message. Now, 1 Thessalonians 2:13 and Hebrews 4 and 3 specifically are based on the word hearing. That's why it's called word of hearing. So we look at the word hearing. And when you look at the word hearing in the Greek, it includes the thought of sensational perception, which is the actual hearing of it. That is, it can be actually heard. Also, it means to perceive. As to what it means. So this is mechanics and dynamics together, and the illustration is found in Acts 17 and 20. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. Now, they heard what was preached, but they didn't understand what was said. Now, this word, then, the word of hearing, message, has within it the two thoughts. People can hear it with their ears, but they might not understand it. Then there are those that will get the mechanics, and then they'll get the dynamics, as Brother Branham called it. Okay? Let's go to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, 3 and 4. But the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, it's not that they can't hear as though they were deaf. They don't want to hear. They close the ears from the perception. Hebrews, the 5th chapter. And verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. The word is actually dull of ears. Like you're going deaf. Okay? It is also used then with this understanding. A thing heard, a message, or a teaching. That's what we're looking at. Now, what I'm trying to get you to understand is that Brother Branham said, I've got a message. It was something that I was told, something I heard, something I understand. Now, in turn, I am talking to you, and you are listening to me. This is what has gone through the ages, and I am a part of it. So I'm telling you something. Now, you are listening to me, but it is not necessary to believe that you are understanding it or getting it. I am teaching you something. In other words, you have to listen to him or you're not going to get it. And in listening to him, you do get something. Now let's go to John the 12th chapter. 38-40. That the saying of Esaias or Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he had blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. See? Now you'll notice in there that these people positively saw everything and they heard everything, but it didn't mean to them what it should have meant. Now let's go to Matthew the 12th chapter. Rather, 13th chapter. Reading 10 to 17. Disciples came and said, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, and to them it is not given. For whosoever hath to him should be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him should be taken away even that he hath. If he doesn't have any place down in there for the word and get the word, he loses everything. Therefore speak unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. See, they're going deaf. And their eyes they've closed, they're going blind. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with the heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. That's perception, see? For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things that you've seen and not seen them, to hear those things you hear and have not heard them. All right. So Brother Branham had a message. And according to the vision, he was over here in Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Now the vision was with the Word. Wherefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment. And this will do, God permit, for it is impossible for those who are once for all enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, have tasted the good word of God, the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away, or having fallen away, to renew them again repent, seeing they crucified themselves, the Son of God afresh by their open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meat for them by whom is dressed, receive blessing from God. But that which bears thorns and briars rejected, and nigh to cursing, whose end is to be burned. Now you notice in here that they're going on to perfection. And at this time they don't lay foundations. They go to perfection. So therefore you don't have to worry about these. You can simply put them to one side. Now what is missing at the end time? The seven thunders. And when you get the seven thunders, under the opening of the seven seals, you've got it all. So therefore, at this particular time, Brother Branham's vision was a man going for sowing. And the seeds came up, and he knew right away it was wheat, and it was tares because it was harvest time. All right. Let's go back to Matthew 13 in the light of Hebrews 6. Beginning with 3 to 10. He spake many parables, he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, the fowls came devoured him. Some fell in stony places where they're not upon much earth, sprung up because they had no deepness of the earth. And when the sun came up, they were scorched, they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, the thorns choked them. Having sprung up, the thorns choked them. Others found the good ground, brought forth fruit, 160, 30. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Okay, let's go to 18 and 23 to get the interpretation. Hear ye the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then comes the wicked one. Now this already took place under Christ. Now it's got to happen again. Cometh the wicked one, catcheth away what was sown in his heart. This is he that receives seed by the wayside. Alright, you'll notice in here, anyone that hears the word understands not, then comes the wicked one, catches away what was sown. This is he that receives seed by the wayside. All right, what happened here was there was no place for that word to take root. He didn't have a place for the word. Now in here, number 2, number 20, he that receives seed in stony place, the same as he that hears the word, and anon with joy receives it, but he hath no root in himself, endureth for a while, for in tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, he is offended by many. Now that's a man that doesn't have any seed in him. He's not seed, because there's nothing in him. See? You got this fellow over here, he's a, they just don't add up. Now, 22, he also receives seed among thorns, he that hears the word and cares this world, deceiving riches, choke the word, it becomes unfruitful. That could be the foolish virgin. Now, it just said, now Brother Branham warned us of being of that kind right there. But he that receives seed in the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it and brings forth fruit. Now, remember, it's fruit word and word fruit. And it's based upon an understanding. So this bride at the end time would be 160 and 30. They'll have the word and know what to do with it. That's why we speak on spirit, love, and word. And show that fruit apart from the fruit apart from the word and gifts apart from the word, though they're both in there, and both can be manifested by these people, they're false. We found that love was getting out of the way. So there could be a life lived that's going to bring it forth. And you'll find that's one with the word. Now, that's not too hard to understand. It's easy. It's just difficult to get out of the way. All right, now at the end time, do you see what Brother Branham is up against in the preaching of this message? It's going to be a complete reversion to the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sore went forth to sow. And he says, listen, you hypocrites. He said, I know you're Abraham's seed. He said, but you're not his children, truly. He said, I'm going to tell you the reason you hate me is there is no place in your heart for my word. Now, there's those that don't have it. Now, that's just that old stony rogue right there that fowls here just come gobble, gobble, gobble. It's a big scene. It's a circus. It's a bunch of hogwash. Then you see there those in there come along, and they're not seed in the first place. That's your make-believers just hanging around to cause you problems. Then I believe there's a third class, and I believe that's foolish virgin, actually. The word of the Lord came to the foolish virgin, and well, they say, hey, look at this thing here. They all say, oh, look at this thing. And the priest said, now, just a minute. You know that what we stand for, hallelujah. And they say, oh, that's right, that's right, that's right. They can't take the pressure. Then you got the ones that can take the pressure because they're seed to begin with. There's a place for it. This makes a divine union. And they go right on. There'll be 100, there'll be 60, there'll be 30. Like Brother Brand said, well, he said, little washerwoman, she's got one to three tapes, she'll get by fine. Somebody else. But you notice right here, it has to do with the word bringing fruit, forth fruit in the people, which is a life proposition within the people. Now, don't get all haywire about manifestation. We're talking about people. Okay. Now, it says at the end time, these people, now let's go take a look at them, these false anointed, because these are going to be a pretty hairy crowd. And Brother Branham is going to have to stand up there and pick them out. The word of God now goes into full effect as the judge. For it is impossible for those who are once for all enlightened, having tasted the heavenly gift, partake of the Holy Ghost, taste the good word of God, the very power of the world to come, that Elijah is standing here and telling all about what happened, the very vision of Peter being fulfilled now, the kingdom of God coming into full view, everything ready for the resurrection and the transfiguration right here, and they'll turn it down flat. They will crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. Now, who can do it? Israel cannot do it, because when he appears, they receive him. But in Matthew 12, when he comes to the Gentiles, they hate him. And they try to crucify him. For the earth which drinketh in the rain, what's the earth? That's us, people. You're made out of the dirt. Cometh oft upon it. Will this earth, will it bring forth herbs? Will it bring forth the wheat? Will it bring forth an original creation? Now watch. Let the earth bring forth. Bring forth what? From the seed that was there. It'll bring forth from this earth. You follow what I'm saying? True seed manifestation, bodies of Christ glorified, the rest, burn! You follow me? Okay. Message. All right. We can't stop here. We go back to where I took you for a while, which is 1 Peter. We start in 2 Peter to begin with. End time. Peter said, this second epistle, beloved, I write to you. Second epistle. Okay. That's the start of chapter 3, which is nothing more than a continuation of chapter 2 that says, at the time of this prophet coming forth, when the vision that he had is made sure by coming in reality, that there'll be a lot of false teachers as there were false prophets. Now, the false prophets are Corey, Dayton, and Byron. That bunch there. Because this is Exodus. And these teachers are bringing their damn little heresies. This is the end time. Time of the flood. Sodom and Gomorrah. Balaam. Moses. The whole thing. And you watch. He speaks of the false anointed. They're going to go back like dogs to the vomit and sows to the wallet because they never were sheep in the first place. Now he is warning the people. And he said, now, this epistle, I'm stirring up your pure minds by repetition because I wrote the first epistle so you'd understand. So therefore, the theme of the end time in which Brother Branham, Elijah, comes with this message is begun over here in 1 Peter. Now, let's just see what he says in 2 Peter 1, 10 to 12. Wherefore, the rather brethren, give diligence to make your carnal election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For sown entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you all as remembrance in these things, though you know them, and be established in the truth which is presented to you, which is before you right now. All right. Knowing that shortly I was put off this tabernacle. But he said, we have not followed the fables when I told you these things in the first epistle. But he said, I saw the forerunning vision of it. And he said, there'll be the prophet come. He'll establish it. And when he does, the day star rise in your heart. That's what he says. And as daylight will shine in the dark place, the day star rise in your hearts. All right. The understanding will come at this time from the light that's shed abroad by the word of Almighty God. All right. So, we're over here then in 1 Peter. We're going to read from the Weiss translation as previously. First chapter, beginning at verse 3. Let the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be eulogized. Who God forced, literally impelled. God taken over. Just like a car is impelled by gasoline, once it gets through the carburetor of the engine, lit by the spark, God is impelled. By his abundant mercy, who impelled by his abundant mercy, caused us to be born again, so that we have a hope which is alive. This living hope, having been made actual through the intermediate instrumentality of the resurrection, of Jesus Christ out from among the dead. Now, if he'd have brought everybody with him, that'd have been a mess. I want you to notice this. The plan of God could not work without an out resurrection. In other words, take some, leave others for another time. Take one, then he in turn bring them out, the rest stay. Resulting in an inheritance, and that means something that you have by virtue of your birth, imperishable and undefiled, that does not fade away, Now, your hope won't fade, and what's attached to your hope cannot fade. In other words, word and substance become one. Which inheritance, and we're going to talk about inheritance another future date, which has been laid up and is now kept guarded in safe deposit in heaven for you who are constantly being kept guarded by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last season, which is epical and strategic in its significance. Now, we went into that the last time, didn't we? All right? Now, the word season means set time or proper time. Now, this last season is the last specific set era or proper in what God has set forth as propriety according to His wisdom and how He does things. And this is the time He's going to do this. Now, notice, there is something. Now, this inheritance, this which has been accomplished by His out-resurrection, which also is our out-resurrection, is at a season of revelation. And this season cannot come unless it is revealed. That's what Peter says. And he tells you the revelation of it is when Elijah comes. And this begins to move. Now notice you can't have faith for this. No way. Unless it is the hour. Because you see, hope is earnest expectation. And the earnest expectation we have is that Christ has raised from the dead, is at the right hand of the Father. And all of this is kept there for us until the specific hour of that hope. It's epical and it's strategic. Now, we certainly found out what epical was, pertaining to an epic or epics, had the nature of an epic, which is a particular period of time is marked by distinctive character. The beginning of any distinctive period in the history of anything. A point of time distinguished by a particular event or state of affairs. Okay, the state of affairs is to be on the scene that we are going to receive this inheritance. It's something that He procured for us. All right? Laid up and waiting. And it's the last season. No more. It's strategic. Of course it's strategic. Because strategy is to strategic means a generalship. The science or art of combining and employing the means of war in planning and directing a large military movement operation. Lord descending him with a military command. Getting everything in order. All right? It's a season for a military operation. And military operations always demand a confrontation, or why have it? Now, therefore, the shout, which is the message, is a confrontation. Okay. Now, in this which last season, remember spiritual food in due season, at a set time, which is the proper time, in this last season. And that last season over here is the once for all falling of the rain. The earth gets seven complete outpourings of the word, one for every age. And at the end time, it is a ripening rain. Latter rain is a ripening rain. All right? Now, let's understand that because we're not kidding ourselves. That's over here in James, the fifth chapter. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the presence of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Until he. Remember, Jesus himself said, I don't know and don't have the authority. It's in the Father's hands. Now, when this is given to him, it becomes latter rain. He was given the first rain. But times and seasons are kept in the Father's hands. Go to Acts. Will you restore the kingdom? He said, it's not for you to know the times and seasons which the Father has put in His own power. He said, you don't know and I don't know. But he said, I'm waiting. He watched every age go by with great patience. You know why he had patience? Because he didn't want to lose one of them. He doesn't just have patience, he's got long patience. And long patience is going on right now. It's overdue. Now he's received it, right? Took the book, right? Came down. What'd you do? Gave the latter rain. The former rain and the period of the latter rain, rather, I should say. All right? Because remember, the former rain has to fall again. For former rain, latter rain, and former rain to fall in that period. All right? We know the period which we're in. Here it is. Be patient, therefore, brethren. Establish your hearts. Now, Peter said the same thing. We'll go into that. Well, we might not get it today. For the presence of the Lord draweth nigh. Notice, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands at the door. Now, it tells you right there, don't get in a hassle. Don't try to figure this thing out. You just wait for it. Because the judges stand at the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. At the time of the latter rain, bring ye the former rain. Come in and sup with him, ye with me. In the presence of the sun, the final ripening. Remember, it takes the latter rain to ripen the grain. That's right. The grain can only ripen at the time of latter rain. And then it takes that former rain brought back to bring the finishing touches. To ripen in the sun. Now he's standing there as a judge, the fan in his hand. Now, in which season you ought to be constantly rejoicing with the joy that expresses itself in triumphant exuberance, although for a little while, the present time, if perchance there is need for it, you've been made sorrowful in the midst of many different kinds of testings, in order that the approval of your faith, which faith was examined by testing for the purpose of being approved, that approval being much more precious than approval of gold which perishes, even though that gold be approved by fire testing, may be discovered after scrutiny to result in praise and glory and honor at the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, it tells you something here, that evidently there was not the revelation of Jesus Christ at the time that this was written. It was coming. Now, remember, Brother Branham said John saw him as judge. Here you're right in the cloud. Whom, not having seen you love because of his preciousness, in whom now, not seeing, yet believing, you are rejoicing with an inexpressible and glorified joy upon the occasion of your receiving the promised consummation of your faith, which is the final salvation of your souls. Now, final salvation? What's that? Well, final is final. That'd be the last time, the token, the mystery, the whole sealing in at the last time. Now, concerning which salvations, prophets conducted an exhaustive inquiry and search, those who prophesied concerning the particular grace destined to you. Now remember, the grace destined to them is what he's talking about. The last season, epical season. Now, searching as to what season or character of season the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was making plain when he was testifying beforehand concerning the sufferings of Christ and the glories which would come after those sufferings. Now notice what he says here. Everybody's mind just wants to go where they want to let their minds go. Now, I don't want you to let your minds go where your minds go, because it's not very smart of you. Not in the light of this revelation. you watch every word. Now, people reading this, they say, well, you see, those prophets, they knew about the first coming and the crucifixion, and they couldn't place it. That's not what it says here. They couldn't place us. At the time of this revelation of the crucifixion. Certainly they couldn't. God kept it hid till this moment. Jesus didn't know. Says he didn't. Now, concerning which salvation? What salvation? Now, this time, the final salvation of your soul. Well, you say the blood's been shed, what's needed? The Holy Ghost given, what's needed? You know nobody could figure that out? Now, these men look the same people look like today, and they say, well, that's why they read it the wrong way. The particular grace destined to us in the epical final season. They searched the season and character. They wanted to spot it. They wanted it earmarked. Now, there's a lot of things in there that you can spot and earmark and think you're on target. And every time you come up with a Sodom and Gomorrah situation. Now, what's a Sodom and Gomorrah situation? Billy Graham and Oral Roberts preaching the cross and blinding your eyes. That's what it is. Not a tall aware Elohim. With a prophet. Now, Peter, starting here, lays it on the line. And he said, these people couldn't figure. And they still can't figure. Because they think preaching the cross is going to get them out of Sodom and Gomorrah. It doesn't get them out of Sodom and Gomorrah. It can't because they're blind. Now, the eye and the ear is one and the same thing. Their eyes have been blinded. Their ears have been deafened. So there is no way they can get the truth. And so, therefore, the blood standing there doesn't do them any good. And now the blood is all in favor of the bride. And waiting for the 144,000. Now listen, the Gentiles have been blinded all these years, going down to Israel preaching a crucified Christ. Forget it! They come in under the fifth seal by election. Now you tell that to anybody outside of us who know, and they'll laugh and spit in your face. That's right. And the same people who believe in sovereignty, where God took one before the foundation of the world and left the other, haven't got enough spiritual smarts to understand annihilation. Tell me, why would God keep anybody living and living and living? They're subtly blinded. Now, they didn't know this time. And Peter said, there's one key to the whole thing. He said, you better watch for that prophet that comes with the revelation. And he said, that's the light that's going to shine in the dark place. And it's going to rise in your hearts. And that is Ephesians. The eyes of your heart being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, of what his name does in the saints. And his name is no place else but in his own body. All right, he's the head. Now, to whom it was revealed that not for themselves were they ministering these things which now have been reported to you through those who have announced the glad tidings. Now what's that? That's the cross, that part. Through those who have announced the glad tidings to you by the Holy Spirit who was sent down on a commission from heaven, which things angels have desired, have a passionate desire to stoop down and look into. Couldn't do it. But now what happened? They come. The angels come. Seven angels. Now they bring the word. Now they know. Wherefore, having put out of the way once for all everything that would impede the free action of your mind. That's all preconceived ideas. Count them manure. Don't get excited. Be calm. Be calm and collected in spirit. Now, there's only one way you can ever get calm and collected. Get away your preconceived ideas and all this junk that's in there that's making you agitated. Well, I preach so hard that most of the time people have no idea what's in my heart. I've learned to be hard, and I admit it. But there are certain things that make me cry inside because I know there's no use telling the people. Unless God does something for you and for me, I want you to understand that I do not believe for 1 minute the possibility of calmness and collectiveness of the and the collecting of the Spirit can come upon people. They are the ones that Brother Branham said, they're so busy with everything, they simply can't take time for this word. That hits just about all of us, but hits some of us more than a whole lot than others. Oh, everything is more important but this. But you're wrong. Jesus said, the words that I speak, their spirit and their life, and they're the very words that Brother Branham was told. And I don't care if they came out of the mouth of an ignoramus or out of Balaam's donkey. Still the word of God. Now listen. Calm, collected, set your hope perfectly, wholly, unchangeably, without doubt and despondency upon the grace that is being brought to you upon the occasion of the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not assuming an outward expression which does not come from your inner being. That's what I said a while ago. There's no way the other's going to happen unless it's on the inside to make it happen. Is a child of God, and is not representative of an expression pattern after that expression which you formerly had in the ignorance of your passion desires, but after the pattern of the one who called you, the Holy One, you yourselves also become holy persons in every kind of behavior, because it has been written and is on record, be holy individuals, because as I for myself am holy. Now you know where Brother Brown said that came from. Be the perfection that comes from Matthew 5:48, and the perfect identification that Paul spoke of, we have become the righteous of God by our union with him. Now, that is not simply mechanics, that is dynamics. And in view of the fact that you call on him, call on as Father him who judges. Now, see, there's your judge again. Not with a partiality based upon mere outward appearance. Now, there is the whole thing right there. Why is it that the prophet kept saying, you cannot go by fruit, you cannot go by manifestation of power? You simply can't do it. because anybody can produce it in the end time. But with an impartiality in accordance with each individual's work. Now there again, finding your place. With a wholesome, serious caution, order your behavior during the time of your residence as a foreigner. Now, Brother Branham said a woman was kind of crying one day in his presence that she hadn't amounted to much. And he said, well, he said, you raised your children. She said, yes. She said, that's exactly what God wanted you to do. I'm going to tell you something. I doubt if there's one sister sitting here this morning that understands what I said. Because you're still back there where you shouldn't be. You still don't believe what the prophet said. That qualifies a woman. To be some high and mighty. Good, for God's sake, listen. We don't believe in Amy Semper McPherson's. And Matty Crawford's. And Evangeline Booth. Who's so stuck on her name when she married Booth. She married Cliburn. She had to call herself Booth Cliburn. So I suppose you got to veil Jesus. Or a white Jesus. Maybe an Evans Jesus. Great, isn't it? And this he said to a man that was farmer. Well, he said, you've served your purpose. He said to the end time, you're pounding nails, pound nails. But no, people just can't get grace in their heads. And understand where God places people in the body. Got no axe to grind, you're telling the truth. I discovered what happiness could be when I realized that I wasn't called to be except what I was called to be. Oh, sure, there's some tough spots. If you don't want to make a jackass out of yourself by yourself, somebody comes along and helps you. And two of us make a better job than one. I also thought two mules could do a whole lot more cruddy work than one mule could. Also have twice as much mischief, too. Twice as hard to handle. Just drop that by the board. Not too many of you catch that one, but it's all right. Maybe they weren't intended. Maybe they didn't catch it myself. I don't know. All right, listen. With a wholesome, serious caution, order your behavior during the time of your residence as a foreigner. As a foreigner. A citizen of and living for the time being amongst the unsaved on the earth, which is foreign territory, governed by the God of this world, knowing as you do, that not by means of perishable things, little coins of silver and gold, were you set free. Once for all, by the payment or ransom money, out of and away from your futile manner of life handed down by generation to generation. You notice this has been going on for seven church ages, this organization. Started way back there with the deeds of the Nicolaitans. But with the costly blood, highly honored blood of a lamb that is without blemish and spotless, the blood of Christ, who indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the universe was laid, but was visibly manifest at the closing years of the times, for your sake, who through him are believers in God, and one who raised him out from among those who are dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope might be in God. Notice the manifestation took place, now it's going to take place again. Having purified your souls by means of your obedience to the truth. Now listen, there's something beside the blood. See? I don't know if we got a short here, whatever it is, we don't like it. Is it this? Nothing? Well, if I move a certain way. All right, having purified your souls by means of your obedience to the truth. Now, obedience to the truth isn't you working at something, because then that's not grace any longer. Obedience is where you have only your faith, resulting not in an assumed, but a genuine affection and fondness for the brethren. Now, this is where love doesn't believe anything against his neighbor. Now, listen. Having purified your souls by means of your obedience to the truth. All right? You got to put away everything out of your mind that was denominational, pre-message, pro-denominational, everything. You got a center right in there, the hour in which you live, the whole thing bound up there. Now watch. Resulting in not an assumed, but a genuine affection and fondness for the brethren. An affection and fondness. That's that filial, see? That springs from your hearts by reason of the pleasure you take in them. From the heart love each other. Now you're getting into the agape love there. With an intense reciprocal love that springs from your hearts because of your estimation of the preciousness of the brethren. Okay? The eyes of your heart being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now you're standing right with Christ. Which is divinely self-sacrificial in its essence. Willing to take blame but not handing it out. Now you got to put blame where blame belongs at certain times, but in other words, you're able to discern, but you got to watch. Having been begotten again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the word of God, which lives and abides. For every kind of flesh is as grass, and its every kind of glory is as the flower of grass. That's right. But there's a glory of the word that's different. And remember, there's a glory of the resurrection. Because there's a glory of a physical body, and there's a glory of a spirit body, and there's a glory of a glorified body. There's a glory of the sun, there's a glory of moon. And we've come to the very place of the highest glory of all, which is the glory of his presence, which is going to raise the dead. And here he is, prophet in his own word. That's God's word, not prophet's word. The grass was caused to wither away, the flower fell off, but the word of the Lord abides forever. Now it tells you right there that it's not going to abort. A lot of people have an idea saying, well, you know, this message could run out. It's not going to run out. It's a once for all a message, and there's no other message. When we talk about if this isn't it, there's nothing to anything. Where would you go? That's exactly what we're saying. Either this is it or anything, period. So what is it? This is it. Because you can't look out there and not know there's a God. You can't see that man operate under the Holy Ghost and not know there is a God. And you can't know for 1 minute when that man has the the identification that the Word cannot be here. So it's like, as I said, this fellow talked to James Mayfield for several hours, then he finally said, well, now, James, he said, what would happen if you're wrong? Well, he said, I'll go to hell where William Branham is, and you'll go to heaven where so-and-so is. And the man's a whoremonger, said, no, no way he's going to be there. He said, Brother Vail, I thought you operated by grace. When did grace ever give you the right to be a whoremonger? I thought grace, I don't think we had to worry about sublimation. I thought we had something greater than sublimation. May sound foreign to you, but just think what I've been preaching. The grass was called to wither, flower fell, the word of the Lord abides forever. And this is the word which in the declaration of the good news was preached to you. Now just a minute. Let's just go back there one more time and I'm finished. Revelation chapter 10. And it says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh church age messenger, when he'll begin to preach, to bring his message to sound and you hear it, the mystery of God should be perfected and concluded and polished off as God had declared the good news by his servants, the prophets. It's all over. And at that time, you can no more be a phony than nothing because reality has come. And what you see is what you get. That was an interesting thought. Well, I hope you caught that in different ways than that. I don't want to keep you in suspenders, you know, but the thing is, I'm going to leave you there just the same. All right, he said, I got a message. Let me read it one more time. He said, now the message of the Lord is allotted to me. Sometimes things get pretty touchy. Been that way every age. I've tried my best to stay with that message. And if I did not speak that message, the thing that God told me, if that message wasn't to God, then it wouldn't be in the Word. If that message is in the Word and a promise for this hour, then I feel I'm doing what's right because I'm only trying to keep what He promised for this hour. In other words, Brother Branham, keeping that Word, keeping that promise this hour, the only one who could tell exactly what it was, bring it right back. You and I stand and say, that's it. Except Elijah, I'm going to come to burn. Elijah, turn hearts back. That's all laid out before us. Where are you going to go? Now you can see by now what Brother Branham said. Look, I've got this one fear. There's going to be too many places to go, too many things to do, too many jobs to take care of, too many enticing things, places to see, thoughts to think, music to hear, culture to culture, that I may lose the understanding that this is life. That's what he said. Trash. Heavenly Father, we know the prophet said that as he preached us messages hewn out by a prophet, the prophet had to come with some pretty bold wax to begin to whack the stone until it could begin to take a shape and a form. And we have been left some very serious wax. The part of all the creeds and dogmas going, Lord, has been glorious, and we love to see it go. But are we a bit like Israel, Lord? When the manna came down, we loathed the manna. Not understanding in this hour, Christ and the Word is one. Help us, Lord God, to be more sincere. You may have to take a club to me, Father. I recognize that. I've been clubbed before, and it's fine. Maybe we get taken out of here for disobedience, I don't know. But I knew one thing, that I'm certainly not going to try to duck, but I will say, Lord, that what the prophet said was sure true, because there's just so much of everything and so little of just being exactly what we are in the place we are, but with that Word. And that makes that difference. And then when it does, we know we're not leading the Word, but the Word is leading us. And this is the bad part, that we're not enough in. We love to think of the Word, and we do think of it. We appreciate that. But Father, we just long to be more real one with that Word, in a way that has not been previously. We thank you, Lord, for every measure of grace that's been bestowed upon us. We thank you, Lord, for every response by every person in whatever measure. And we consider our own responses comparable or comparing, rather, to the measure of grace given us, and Word and all that poured upon us, we know that we in ourselves are a long way in ourselves from what we want to be, looking to grace that we in yourself and you in us, and we getting out of the way. God, help us to do that. And there's so much to apprehend, and we will apprehend it. Father, help us to be now in a position